Hey, Questioning Medicine listeners. The next 3 or 4 or 5 episodes will all be based on the SGLT2 inhibitors. Yes, that's right, the SGLT2 inhibitors and how they affect the heart. The evidence surrounding these bad boys might give you a heart attack, but have no fear. If you take an SGLT2 inhibitor, you might be able to prevent a cardiac event. Maybe. Well, possibly. It depends on how you interpret the data. I think by the end of these next 4 or 5 episodes, you may have a different insight or observation on this blockbuster drug, but I'll let you decide and I'll just report the news. Let's get on to the episode. Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, what is the benefit of empagliflozin? That's right, empagliflozin on cardiovascular outcomes in type 2 diabetics. What is the benefit of empagliflozin on the cardiovascular and mortality outcomes in type 2 diabetics? You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. All right, Angelville, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida, let's do this thing, shall we? Here is the deal. Way back when, the New England Journal of Medicine published a paper titled Effect of Rosiglitazone on Risk of Myocardial Infarction and Death from Cardiovascular Causes. This was a headline paper, and not for the right reasons. It was 42 trials in which they showed that rosiglitazone, as compared with the control group, the odds ratio for myocardial infarction was 1.43. So what they're saying is that rosiglitazone causes an increase in myocardial infarction, odds ratio 1.43. A odds ratio of 1 would be neutral, so no harm. You'd really want it to be less than 1 because it means, well, we're saving some heart attacks. We're saving lives, if you will. And this was a game changer. It had Senator Grassley and the Committee on Finance doing an internal investigation or a thorough external investigation. Whatever you want to say, they were investigating and it was no good. After that, the FDA came out and said, listen here, if you're going to have a diabetic drug, you got to prove, you got to show that this isn't going to be killing people. You got to run some trials that say that cardiac-wise, it's not worse than placebo. You don't got to be better than placebo, which is an interesting thing to say for any drug, is you don't have to show that you're better than placebo. You just got to show that you're not worse than placebo. And so here we have it. Empagliflozin, cardiovascular outcomes, and mortality in type 2 diabetes. This was the first one for the SGLT2 inhibitors. Back in 2015, it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized controlled trial. Now, to get into this study, you had to have type 2 diabetes, you had to have a glomerular filtration rate, or a GFR, greater than 30, and you had to have a history of cardiovascular disease. The intervention was empagliflozin 10 or 25 milligrams or placebo. The primary outcome was the composite of death from cardiovascular causes, non-fatal myocardial infarction, or a non-fatal stroke. They follow these patients for 3 years. And when you go to the paper, you will see something amazing. That is, the primary outcome, which was that composite that I just mentioned, was drastically improved. And you know that I am all against primary outcomes being composite outcomes, because typically it's like, well, we decided to look at death, and we decided to look at ingrown toenails, and we decided to look at myocardial infarction, and we found that the ingrown toenails were drastically less, and so therefore it is clear that this medication actually saves lives, saves heart attacks, and saves ingrown toenails, when in actuality, when you look at the breakdown, it doesn't save deaths, it doesn't save heart attacks, it just saves ingrown toenails. And this is what I thought. This is what I expected. When I looked at the first graph, it says the primary outcome is better when you use empagliflozin. And I thought, of course it is, because I'm sure it's all driven by non-fatal strokes or non-fatal MIs or something like that, which is still good, don't get me wrong, but it's not driven by death, so I probably don't care. But then when you go on and look, you actually see death from cardiovascular causes, hazard ratio, 0.62. Death from any causes, 0.68. Hospitalizations for heart failure, 0.65. All of those lower numbers, the numbers under one, mean that the active arm or the empagliflozin arm was saving lives. It was saving heart failure hospitalization. This is really good. In this trial, if you just go down and break the individual numbers down, the death from cardiovascular causes, number needed to treat was 46 per 3.1 years, which is fantastic. And maybe the thing that was even more impressive is that the non-fatal myocardial infarction and the non-fatal stroke, there was no significant difference. It only really benefited in death from cardiovascular causes. Number needed to treat of 46 at 3.1 years, which is amazing. The problem with this is that this drug costs approximately $600 a month. And when you have to treat 46 patients for 3.1 years in order to save one life, that works out to about $1 million per life saved. Cash price or cash pay price. Now, I know sometimes you're going to hear the drug reps say, well, we have these coupons, they can get it for free for 3 months. But the problem is the trial went on for 3 years. So 3 months of free is great, but then the patient, somebody still has to pay for it, whether that be insurance or the patient. And because this was such an interesting finding, where the composite was actually driven by a decrease in death, it made us all question it. It made us all shake our heads and say, what about this? And the other interesting thing was that the hemoglobin A1C at the end of the 3 years was basically the same. I mean, it was really within 0.2 or 0.3, whether you were on empagliflozin or whether you were on placebo. And that made us think, well, wait a second. If the change in death wasn't because of an A1C, I mean, if it the change in death was going to be because of an A1C, we would expect to see the A1C being 1, 2, 3 points different. We would expect the A1C to go from the baseline of 8-ish all the way back down to, 5 or something that we as a population in medicine seem to think is beneficial. It really didn't change that much when you were getting empagliflozin. It didn't have that great of an effect on the A1C. And when you looked at the subgroup population, it didn't matter if you were less than 65 or older than 65. If you were male or female, black, white, Indian, or Asian, it didn't matter what your A1C was, didn't matter what your body mass index was, didn't matter what your blood pressure was, it didn't matter. It seemed to be that empagliflozin favored everyone. Every single breakdown, when you looked at it, when you looked at the forest plot, which is that little plot that has like the line in the middle, and then it's got placebo on one side and empagliflozin on another, and then it breaks it down by subgroups, and it's just got these the point estimates with the confidence intervals that go either side. When you look at the point estimates, all of the point estimates line up with empagliflozin. And that little tricky thing of it seemed to be better for everyone, and if this whole outcome, the composite outcome, was driven by a decrease in death, it made drug reps everywhere, and by drug reps, I mean the drug companies everywhere, think to themselves, wait a second, we included type 2 diabetics because the FDA made us, but what if this isn't a type 2 diabetic drug? What if this is a human drug? Bum, bum, bum. And that is where we are going to leave off this story. That's where we're going to stop talking about the flozins until we start talking about them again tomorrow, where I break down more recent trials in which they don't necessarily include just type 2 diabetics, but they start including everyone. Because we all know that if you can push a drug to a diabetic to save their life, you can make a lot of money. But if you can push a drug towards every person to save their life, you will make a boatload more money. For me, the ultimate takeaway, bottom line, is back in 2015, empagliflozin was the first trial that came out that had an improvement in cardiovascular death in type 2 diabetics. But this was just the tip of the iceberg, my friends, because they realized that just maybe, these blockbuster drugs would be beneficial for everyone. And if they would be beneficial for everyone, that means they would make a whole bunch more money than ever anticipated. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, Keith Quest and Questioning.